Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome to a special edition of A Sticking Heart with Allison Gingrich, distributed through Breadbox Media. I'm joined today by Kelly Guest. And Kelly and I are going to kind of deviate from my normal format of talking about books for just for now. Kelly will be back in October when her new book is released, and we'll find out a little bit more about that at the end of today's podcast. But today, I wanted to give Kelly an opportunity to share with you something very important, very near to her heart, very near to mine, and I think a lot of us who are parents, the signs of depression in teens. And so this is going to be not... Kelly's not a professional, but she is a professional mom. She's a mom of nine. So we're going to be looking at her personal parent experience with depression and with her children, or two of her children. So welcome, Kelly. Thank you for making this time for me today.
Thank you for having me, Allison.
Well, so let's just dive right in. Where would you like to start this conversation?
Well, I guess just to let everyone know that, unfortunately, twice I've had to go through the suffering with my children who have had experiences with mental illness. And so I have a 23-year-old daughter who her senior year was diagnosed with clinical depression and anxiety and had to be hospitalized for a week. And also had outpatient services. And then just recently, this past year, my 16-year-old daughter was diagnosed with social anxiety and depression. And in talking with other families, I've learned that this is very common among our teenagers today. And so I just wanted to share some signs that parents can look for and ways that they could help their children overcome their depressions, their anxiety, and to be supportive of them.
Well, I'm very excited to have you here and to share this information. I know this year has been very difficult for many children. We're seeing an increase in depression, obviously, from what they've had to go through, the isolation that some of them have had to experience. And I also think that social media, obviously, has also been attributed to some of the troubles that we've seen. But there's also that's just part for some children. It is I have a child who's, it's part of his genetic makeup. It's part of who he is. He inherited it from me. And it's just something we've as a family have had to deal with. But being aware and of the signs, I think, is super important, because sometimes it can just pop up. Hormones can play a huge role in it. I know that was part of what happened here. So Kelly, start with what you think are some of the important signs that parents need to be looking for.
Okay. So in my own experience, unfortunately, there was self-harm involved. So cutting or even scratching. So if you notice marks on your child, arms or legs that are scratches or even deeper cuts, that's a definite warning sign. I think I overlooked the scratch, because if you ask, a thorn bush or something, but if if you consistently see it, it's not thorn bushes, and to question them. Also, if they're wearing long sleeves on hot days, they may be hiding that. So to try to be observant for those things. Also, a loss in interest in things that once excited them or that they were passionate about. So for my daughter, she loved acting. She would love being in the school plays and all that. And she just couldn't bring herself together enough to actually try out for a play or perform. My daughter, who's suffering now, loves horseback riding and is right now not going to the farm and riding horses. So that loss in things that once were of interest to them is another warning sign. There's also lack of motivation to do everyday normal things like take a shower or get dressed in the morning when they are having a hard time getting out of bed. Now, a hard time getting out of bed is very much a teenage thing. When they don't want to get dressed or take a shower, and it's very difficult for them to make up their mind what they're going to wear, I mean, beyond what a normal teenager would do, that is another big warning sign. And then a drop in grades can be a sign, and sleeping too much or too little. These are all signs that there may be depression involved. And so then it becomes important for us as parents to ask, and it's okay to ask, you know, how are you feeling? Scale 1 to 10, 10 being, this is the best day of my life, to 1, I wish I didn't have to get up this morning. I wish I didn't even wake up. And let them give you that scale. Anything below a 5 is definitely a warning, you know, so you may need to get them help.
Some of the things that I was really glad that I had done when my son was a teenager was because I paid for his phone, I kind of had the rule that I had to see his phone. Yes. And there was, that's how I caught a few of the things that were going on, because it was that random spot check. Like, you don't have time to erase this thing, give me the phone. Of course, the phones have gotten a little bit more fancy. Since my son really basically had text and it was easy to follow. But I think that's one of the things that parents can feel okay about. Like, I think that we want to give them privacy. That's their phone. But if I'm paying the bill, it's my phone. And it's okay to be a parent and say, give me your phone. It's my, you know, I'm going to. And it was one of those, I could see his behavior was a little off, but even asking, I got all the right answers, but I just knew, like, you just trust your mama instinct too, right?
Absolutely do that. Yes. And I agree 100% with the checking of the phone and maybe even the doodles on their notebook, side of their notebook, like, so looking at their schoolwork to check things like that. Are they doing their schoolwork like they used to? Yeah. All these are real important.
And then also, like, who are they hanging out with? Are they making time for their friends? If they've had a friend for a really long time and suddenly they're not together, that was another thing that had happened with one of my children, that there was suddenly this break in their friendship. And it was you just noticing that and kind of having that discussion. We kind of got the bottom of a few things that way. I think one of the things our family does is we're a family dinner people. Thanks to my husband, Deacon Hubby has that one covered, but because I never did that as a kid. We were literally TV tray kids with TV dinners, watching TV. Like, that's how I grew up. So this idea of family dinner just wasn't a concept that I understood. And what a blessing family dinner has been. It, you know, and we had, even my husband said yesterday, he wished he had enforced it more. And he was kind of a 3 or 4 days a week, that's family dinner, like it or not, you need to be home for that. Does your family have I know you probably still have little ones, so it's easier to have the family dinner, but is that something you do at your home?
I mean, every night, the ones that are home, we have dinner together. And you are so right. I really didn't consider that, but you can notice eating habits there and also conversation. Are they withdrawn from the conversation? What are they contributing to the conversation? So absolutely family dinner. Another big benefit of family dinner would be to help see mood changes in your children.
And we've had different things that we've done during the year. Like, I remember through the years. One of the things I did when my kids were in still in school before I homeschooled them was ask them high low of the day, your highlight of the day, your low light of the day. And that was one of the decisions, one of the discussions that led to the decision to actually homeschool my older son. Like his low light every day was something that happened in school, and kind of serious things like the teacher separating him from the group, the teacher ripping up his paper because he didn't put his name on it, because he's ADHD. So sometimes details escape him, and little, you know, being left inside for recess and things like that were so detrimental. And then coming to the teacher and having her completely in a, I know teaching is a difficult job and you have to have rules. I'm not throwing this teacher under the bus. Just for my child and for our situation, her reaction to his behavior, his difficulties, was the wrong thing for him. Isolating him was not helpful when he was already starting at 9 years old to deal with depression. Punishing him for behaviors that he didn't feel he could control, not helping him feel good about himself. So I attribute bringing him home and homeschooling him actually, I feel at some point saved his life, because he did eventually attempt suicide. So that was, you know, really difficult and overwhelming for our family, but grateful that he was not successful and that we were able to get him the help, and he's, you know, doing much better now. So do you want to weigh in on any of that? Kelly.
Well, I think that's real important, the high low, because I know my daughter, who actually both did, and thank the Lord for guardian angels and prayers of parents. But we would not, one of the things she learned is to write all the good things and the bad things, but they would not let her write more bad than good. You know, like if you write something bad, you had to write something good too. Even if it's something as simple as I got up and got dressed this morning, you know?
Yeah.
So I think something like that is a great practice to start in your family. Ask them what's the best thing that happened to you and what's the worst. And you will learn a lot if they're enough to share with you. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And I was thinking about some of the things that you said, like the loss of interest. Like, obviously, kids' passions change. I think for me, part of my problem as a mom was that guilt. Like, I couldn't fix it. I felt like a failure as a parent. So I was really slow to get help because I didn't want to admit out loud that I may have had a parent fail. Hashtag parent fail. But it wasn't, especially in our case where it was the mental illness had been hereditary. It was, you know, part of chemical just imbalance that he needed medication to help with. And I then again had the guilt after that I let him suffer so long. But I think that's one of the things I want to make sure that parents know. It's not a parenting fail. You don't need to feel guilty. And even if you've missed the, if you miss the cues, I think you said it earlier, the prayer of a parent asking God to continually enlighten you, give you the grace to be the best parent you can be, knowing that we'll never be a perfect parent. There's no such thing except for Mary and Joseph. We'll give Joseph that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do, I guess it's just normal to feel bad, to feel like you contributed. And likewise, in my family, there's mental illness issues also. So both of my daughters ended up having to be on medication. And that the stigma of that, we really need to get over that. And I keep trying to tell my girls, it is no different than if you had diabetes and your pancreas wasn't producing insulin, except for it's your brain instead of the pancreas, and it's serotonin or oxytocin or whatever the chemical might be that is just not being produced, absorbed, or whatever the case might be. So it's not your fault, you know, to stress that to them. We're going to find you the help. And maybe it's just sitting and listening, or it could be a counselor, professional counselor, but maybe medication, and that's okay. It's okay if your child needs medication to help them through. And a lot of times it may be
we're having a little difficulties with our audio. So I'm just going to ask you to repeat that I heard you say, and I love this, that if the child had diabetes, it's no different. Their pancreas isn't producing what it needs. This is your brain not producing the chemical that it needs, and that getting them medication is part of the process. And I love the removing of the stigma. Like, that is so critical, so crucial for us to start to, as parents, to say, as our giving our children that voice to say that we have to stop sliding it under the carpet and treating it like it's any different illness. And I've really been excited to see that movement in our culture, in our country, because I know it's going to save more lives. It's going to help more people. So I think I did okay. Synopsizing, that's I'm making up words. It's what I do. Summarizing what you said, just if I left anything out, if you want to repeat it, feel free.
No, you caught it all. You really did. And I guess if I was to add anything else, it's simply that as parents, we can't fix them. I think a lot of times for me, the decade of the rosary I prayed most often while my child was suffering is the agony in the garden. And I came to realize that all I could do is stay and watch with them. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't stop them from going through this agony, but I could stay awake with them. And stay awake is such an important phrase in that, because we do have to be awake. We do have to be in tune with our children and try to understand what they're going through. While we'll never be able to totally feel it. I mean, I know you had some depression too, so you probably understand way better than I do, you know, but I can only imagine how hard it must be every day to battle yourself. And so if I can just be there for you and listen to you, or maybe you don't feel like talking today, sweetheart, so we'll sit and watch a movie together, you know, or take a walk and talk about something totally different, whatever you want. And in my family, one of the counseling tricks was because she hated saying she wasn't feeling well, they came up with a code word, which she picked Brussels sprouts, because we know she loves
Brussels.
So she said, I want Brussels sprouts. That means I don't feel good today. Can you sit with me and watch a movie? And if she said, can we go get some Brussels sprouts? That meant I need to get out of the house. I need to take a walk. Will you come walk with me? And that seemed to make it easier, again, because of that stigma. You know, she just didn't want to admit that she had a problem, you know, and that's why on Facebook I did that post. She finally was able to say, okay, you can let people know. And she has found it freeing to be able to say.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah. So I think we need to help our children get to that point, and then they can maybe get better a little faster.
And you mentioned that I did, when I was in eighth grade, I also tried to take my own life, again, through the grace of God, through guardian angels, through whatever God's plan was for me. I'm grateful that I wasn't successful. And over the years, I've dealt with depression, lots of anxiety. That was my book, The Seeking Heart. No, try that again, Allison. This is the name of the podcast. The Stay Connected Journal, A Seeking Peace, A Spiritual Journey from Worry to Trust, was a big part of sharing my anxiety journey. But a lot of my own healing came from talk therapy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of power in that. And I don't think people understand. And you can't be your child's therapist. Learn that one. I tried to be, didn't work. You're not the one to do that. And I love how you said you can't heal them to stay and be awake with them, to be there with them, to kind of be their Simon of Cyrene, kind of carrying that cross with them, but you can't take it away. There's only one savior. That's Jesus. We can't be him. Even though we want to be for our children. For a while I had to take anxiety medication just to stop that cycle. You know, your brain kind of gets like that hamster wheel. And I, through talk therapy, was still not able to stop the cycle. I needed the medication to put a pause on it so that I could learn all the coping mechanisms and put into place those things that would help me specifically to deal with my depression and my anxiety. And the other part I think is really important, because we do talk about the prayers of a parent. And I do know, sadly, lots of praying parents whose children were successful and died by suicide, and how difficult that is for them to feel like, again, they failed as a parent, they failed in praying. And for people who themselves suffer from depression and anxiety, who feel like, I've been praying and it's not going away. It's not like you're broken your faith and that your faith isn't working. It's just that God has a different plan for how he's going to bring healing to you. And there is, again, that no shame in praying for that healing. Instead of praying to fix yourself or to be healed and be better, asking God, open up the door and lead me to where you want me to go, whether it be therapy or medication or a doctor or whatever it is you need, to ask him to open up that door. And I guarantee you that's a prayer he is not going to leave unanswered, definitely. So we're coming to the end of our time together, Kelly. Any last thoughts you'd like to share on this topic before we say goodbye?
I guess mostly, I guess one last thing would be to always encourage your children. Give them praise where praise is due. Laugh with them. Encourage them to laugh. Encourage them to build trust in God. Because like what you were saying, sometimes when God doesn't answer that prayer right away, and just say, look, he has a plan. He has a plan for you. You can trust him. You can trust your family members. You might even be blessed with a good friend that you can trust. And so those are important things for them to learn to do, to trust God, to trust their family. If they have a great friend, to trust that friend, to laugh, and to let God, like you're saying, let God take you through this trial. Let him help you carry this cross, because it's going to lead to a resurrection if you let him lead you there. And good will come from this. Even if we can't see it or feel it now, it will happen. Just trust.
And I do know that teaching redemptive suffering to a teenager doesn't always work. Unfortunately, my son felt punished by God and right now isn't really on speaking terms with him. But I know I felt the same way with my circumstances growing up, and thought, if you're so loving, why am I suffering? But I continued. I found God without having a parent praying for me too. How much more will our prayers be heard and answered and embraced? So I keep praying, and I know God, Jeremiah 29:11, God certainly has a plan and a purpose. He's for his good and not for his woe. And so I pray, Kelly, for your children, all 9 of them. It's just so beautiful, and you're one sweet saint in heaven, who I think I'm going to introduce and hope they become friends with my 2 sweet saints in heaven. And I look forward. So just closing out, tell us about your new book and when we can expect it.
All right. On October 1st, our Sunday Visitor is publishing A Dream of Mine, which is saintly moms. And they had me choose 25 saints who are in the process of canonization that were moms. And so I give a biography of them, a short biography. And then some reflection that I have on how does this mom who lived maybe 1,000 or 100 or 500 years ago have to do with me? What can I learn from her? And then I end the chapter by praying together with the reader, asking for God's graces for a certain intention. But I really am tickled that God has allowed this dream to come true, because when I left the convent, I needed saints who were mommies, saints that were showing me how to do this incredible, difficult, but rewarding job. And I just kept finding more and more. I think I had all together like 53. And
wow.
Our Sunday Visitor said, you need to cut it down. This isn't going to be a Butler Saint book. So pick 25. It was so difficult. But I think I picked out 25 wonderful women that will inspire and encourage us in our vocation as mothers.
Well, I can't wait to have you back in October to talk about your new book. And lastly, how can we keep in touch with you so we can find out more about this great book and the work that you do, your beautiful ministry?
So on Instagram and at Twitter, I'm at nun29, that's nun like N-U-N, the number 2, and then 9 spelled out N-I-N-E, or just Kelly Guest on Facebook. And I have to have a website up, None to Nine, soon. So this is way more difficult than I thought it would be, but I'm going to get there. So by the end of July, look for that.
If God calls you to it, he will bring you through it. That has been my mantra for the last 15 years of ministry, going, why? What are you doing, Lord? I was like, I got this. Just say yes and keep going.
Good message.
Thank you again to my guest, Kelly Guest. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.